have some treatment to get done this afternoon. So let's open our Bibles up, if we will, here to Romans in chapter 12 is where we're going to be here tonight. Romans in chapter 12. And we're going to continue on. And I'm going to be smart this evening, guys. I'm not going to try to cram 10 pounds of sand in a 5-pound bag. So we're going to move steadfastly and probably cover maybe half of what I have down on my notes tonight. And then we'll pick up wherever I leave off this evening. We'll pick up next week. And what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to make a note for myself to end after verse 12 this evening. It may be a little shorter than normal, but just with the addition of the new things in our service, meaning reading the letters and whatnot, I think that's just wise. Again, Pastor Ellis always said that the mind can absorb what the bottom can endure. Amen? And so we want to focus on that. So Romans chapter 12 this evening, we're going to read verses 9 through 12, Romans 9 through 12. And the Bible says this: let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings and gifts and opportunity that you've given us tonight. We pray that you would bless this time of Bible study, Father. Help us absorb it and take them on board, dear Lord, what you would have us to learn from your precious word. We love you. We thank you. Give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we do ask. Amen. And amen. Okay, as we look at verse 9, guys, and real quick, what just popped in my head a moment ago, I meant to make this announcement before I started, but we had our first singing fellowship last week on Thursday afternoon or Thursday evening. It was a good time of fellowship, good time of singing one with another. We're going to start doing that the last Saturday of the month if we can. So I believe Preston and I looked, it was 25th of August, wasn't it? And I believe we looked at today will be the last Saturday of the month of August. So that'll be our next plan. That'll be on Saturday, late afternoon, early evening, whatever it may be. And so we'll make a note of that, and I'll remind you before we dismiss tonight. Now, the Bible says in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, the word dissimulation has two meanings to it. It can mean partiality. It can mean partiality, or it can mean hypocrisy. It is a two-edged sword and has a twofold application even within this verse here. So Paul's teaching us that true Christian love is to be without partiality, is to be without hypocrisy. There are priorities in love, and we understand that. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord our God. We are to love the Lord our God. We are to love God. We are to love His Word. We are to love serving Him. In all fairness, beloved, I believe that I know service of any kind, no matter what it may be, whether it's our occupation or whether it's ministry, can be quite taxing and tiring at times. I understand that. Running busy schedules, running youth programs, running ministry, those things are tiring. But at the same time, even though they're tiring and we need to get our rest from them, we should still love serving God. We should enjoy it. There should be a love about it. We should love His Word. In all fairness, I love reading. I love reading all sorts of books, and I got books on my list to read. But man, I love reading the Word of God. I love reading the Word of God, and I'm not going to dive into some of these other books that I really want to read without giving attention to the precious Word of God. So we need to love His Word. We need to love God. We need to love serving Him in spirit and truth, or worship in spirit and truth. So, beloved, if you love God, here's that speaking of that love again, and this is how it ties into this loving the brother and our love to be without dissimulation. If you love God, you'll love His Word. You'll love serving Him. Therefore, it should be naturally that you would love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so if you love God, all right, and then you love His Word, you're going to do what's in the Word, and then you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a natural progression that occurs, and that's not by accident nor coincidence. That's biblical. That's scriptural. Even though it's a commandment, it's something that is placed inside of us through the Holy Spirit of God, that if He's given us this attribute to allow our love to be without dissimulation, in other words, our love to be without hypocrisy, our love to be without partiality, and therefore when we love God first and foremost, that's the first one we're to love, then we are to love His Word. Not only His Word, we are to love serving Him. Well, if we love God and love His Word and love serving Him, naturally, guys, we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. So therefore, our love is going to be without dissimulation. It's to be without hypocrisy, because we're doing it according to the pattern and the equation that God Himself has set up. It is a divine direction that He's given us that naturally takes His place. I believe that it should be a natural thing to love your family. Romans chapter 1 speaks about an inordinate affection, speaks about leaving your love, or not having that first love, or that natural use, if you will. These are all byproducts of forsaking the very first commandment, very first great commandment, and that's loving God. When people turn their back on God, you look at what follows in Romans chapter 1, the result of that is God turning them over to a reprobate mind. When He turns them over to a reprobate mind, they do that which is unseemly, amen. They forsake the natural use of male and female. They burn in their own lust. This is a byproduct, not a cause, my friend. Those things are about, Romans chapter 1 is a byproduct of people forgetting the love of God, forsaking God, denying God, rejecting God, and therefore those things come in. We want to look at the world and see the sinners out there and say, well, you know, the church would be so great if it wasn't for them and it wasn't for that. That's got nothing to do with it. What the wickedness in our world today is a byproduct of the denial of God. It is not the opposite, amen. So when Paul says that our love should be without dissimulation, it should be without partiality. We shouldn't love one brother or sister more than we do another. It is a natural thing to love your family more than those in the outside world. And guys, there's nothing wrong with that. You should love, husbands should love, wives should love their husbands. I'm sorry, husbands should love their wives. Wives have a particular position inside the home that they are to follow, but it's centered inside position of sacrifice, which is the husband's submission, which is the wife, is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the threefold cord that's not easily broken that you've heard me teach on before. That's Ephesians chapter 5. That's a natural love that a husband and wife have one for another, and it is a continuation and a completion with in the home. So we find that being natural to love your family more than those in the outside world, which is a given, it follows suit with us loving the Lord our God first and foremost. If we love the Lord our God, then therefore we'll love His Word. You can't love His Word without loving Him, period. Now, there's a lot of men out there today that know a lot about, they read books about the Word of God, and they know a lot about the authors who write about the Word of God, but they don't read the Word of God, and that's a problem. So if you love the Lord, your Lord thy God, you're going to love His Word. You're going to love your family in the way that we should. I love my wife today in the manner that I do as a result of loving my God and loving His Word. That's right. How I know how to love Denise, and that's how I know how to love my children. When we started having children, guys, I couldn't explain the love that I had for those kids. I just couldn't explain it. It was just the strangest thing in the world. And I remember walking up on the hillside and that 10 acres back over there in Goodlettsville. Denise and I were walking. It was a hot, sweltering summer day. And I remember just leaning over and saying, you know what? I'm starting to understand that the love that the Father has for us now that I've become a dad. It's amazing. It's something that you just can't explain. It's a different love. But guys, all of that follows suit from loving God, loving His Word, loving His service, loving your families. It comes down, and it's the pattern that God has given us, that our love be without dissimulation, that our love be without without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:17 to love the brotherhood. Guys, when it comes to loving brothers and sisters in Christ, it should be real, and it should be impartial. That's just it. We are to love each one of the brothers and sisters in Christ equally, whether we like some of them or not. That's just the way it is. At the end of the day, you need to love them. I've made this comment several times that, you know, guys, we're going to spend eternity together, one with another. Therefore, we better start loving ourselves, loving one another today. Amen? Amen. So Christians oftentimes seem to struggle with loving the brethren impartially. They don't have a problem necessarily loving the brethren, but it's the impartiality aspect that it seems like many people they struggle with in our modern days, and not just our modern days, last 50 years when I say modern. We find camps today, we find cliques that are mingled throughout the Christian community. Some are divided by what maybe Bible college they attended, or you know, what people they run around with. We see it, like Preston and I would see it with mission boards, that I'm from this mission board, and I'm from that mission board, and you're from that mission board, and you find that they just kind of click around one to another, and others get mixed up with groups because of particular preferences, and many today believers are divided by doctrine, which in all fairness, guys, I've said this time and time again, and I still agree with this. I've never backed off of it. Doctrine will divide, and it should. Amen. If somebody doesn't hold to the proper biblical doctrine of the Word of God, I don't want to have fellowship, true fellowship with them. Amen. I can have a cup of coffee with them and have a friendly conversation and this and that. But if you take someone who believes doctrinally, against what we believe, guys, the communion is not going to bear witness with one another. And that's okay if doctrine divides. There's nothing wrong with that. Just make sure you're on the right side of the doctrine, if you will. There's too many today that's just falling down the rabbit hole of false doctrine. And this is greatly found. These type of divisions are found within the missionary, the evangelist, the pastoral world. These cliques and these camps. I'll just, just be flat up honest with you. This is a trap that I've done my best to avoid at all costs. Refusing to sign into a camp and run with one particular circle. I remember years and years and years ago, there's a particular guy that was on deputation. He ended up coming through our church, and I had it scheduled for the very last service. Now, the very last Sunday night service, closing the mission conference down. And I mean, this was supposed to be the ringer, man. You want to bring a guy in that's going to kind of tie everything together. And I mean, this is a better part of, this is 2003. And so however long that was ago, long time ago, 13 years ago or whatever. And this guy caused several different types of division. It was really on the validity of the Bible. And he caused all this kind of trouble. When my pastor and a couple other well-known pastors throughout the nation, defenders of the faith, and when I mean well-known, I mean well-known guys. We talked about one of them the other day. He's a good, real good guy. I really like him. One of them is a dear friend of mine. And they were just going back and forth, and it was a mess. It was a big divide that happened. And I kept getting copied in the emails and copied in the emails and copied in the emails. And I've been accused of being apathetic at times because I don't care. So, which is the definition of apathy. I just don't, guys. It's not my business what somebody else is doing in there. I got enough to deal with in my camp. I don't need to be going to somebody else's camp. And that's what was happening. I kept getting copied in these emails, even though, one of them was my pastor. And I finally emailed them all three of them back and said, guys, look, man, I appreciate you taking a stand on this, and I appreciate you guys fighting this. But guys, number one, I'm a young pastor. I'm only 3 years, 4 years into this game. Number two, I ain't got a dog in this fight. I don't have a dog in this hunt. You guys carry on with it, but just take me out of this link. And they didn't, but I asked them to keep me out of it. And I just quit reading it. I just got tired of the division. And I probably should have read it, because what happened later on, this guy had called me and booked in for the missions conference. And I recognized the name, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I said, we'll bring you in. He was going to a particular Spanish-speaking country, and we always had a load of missionaries come in. We had a load of national pastors coming in, and this guy was coming in on the backside of the conference, and I was talking to one guy from Mexico. He was a national. He became a dear friend. As a matter of fact, named his second daughter after my wife, and he just mentioned this name. I said, hey, I know that name, man. He's coming in Sunday. But he just turned red. And I was like, what? And we went in a little room, and he told me what was going on. And I was like, dude, I got that guy scheduled Sunday night. And he goes, this guy was leaving, and I was thankful for that, because I really thought there would have been a brawl, man. It was bad. And I'm like, oh, my soul, what in the world is going on? And long story short, man, I called my pastor up. I said, Pastor Ellis, I don't know what to do here. I said, I got myself in a pickle. And I said, that boy's coming here. I said, I got him booked. And he says, let him preach. I took the phone and actually shook the phone like that. I said, what'd you say? He goes, let him preach. And he says, he'll throw out enough rope to hang himself. And that's exactly what he did. But what happened, guys, was I stayed out of the camps. I stayed out of the circles. I stayed out of getting involved in things that was not a lick of my business. And you know what? That guy showed exactly what he was. You know that? You know what happened later on? That whole argument died off. You never heard another word about it. But it was because enough people gave him enough rope to reveal that what he was doing was trying to love with dissimulation. He was trying to love the guys that would get on his side and then tear down the guys that would not get on his side. And he revealed himself. I don't. That guy's fallen off into obscurity nowadays. So, guys, it's something that I've tried to, I've preached meetings for a multitude of different guys, and I've done my very best to try to stay right in the sight of the Lord and His Word. But the key is going to be this. It's loving the Lord first and foremost. If you love the Lord, you love His Word, you love His service, you love the people, and you do it without partiality. You love these from that Bible college, these from that mission board, these from that church, whatever it may be. If you will love them equally and impartially, God will bless that thing, and He'll reveal. Even though you may get yourself in a pickle every now and then, He'll get you out of it one way or another. So verse 9 has a double-edged sword to it. It's just like Romans chapter 11, verse 22, that tells us over there. It says, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, if God is able to graft them. And again, when you see that verse, there's a two-edged sword. There's a positive part I read the wrong verse. It says, verse 22 in Romans 11 says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fail, severity. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. There's a positive side and there's a negative side. So just like in Romans 11, 22, verse 9 has the same thing. And unfortunately, guys, we cannot practice one without the other. Christian love is to be pure, is to be without dissimulation, is to be impartial. But under the same coin, that's the negative. That's the positive part, the loving one another truly and purely. But we are to abhor evil. And to abhor something is absolute pure hatred. Guys, we are to hate evil. The Bible tells us that we are to cling to those things which are good, but we are to hate those things which are evil. Paul says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's the positive. But yet David said in Psalm 97:10, he says, yea, that love the Lord, hate evil. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. That's the negative. Right. And you can't have one without the other. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I wish you could. But guys, if you take the negative away, you have nothing. Because you can't have positive without negative. You can't have light without darkness. You have to have the contrasting element. And we need to understand that here. So the Lord tells us, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. It says, cleave to that which is good. Look at verse 10 with me, if you will. Verse 10 is clear. Verse 10 tells us, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Now, if you want to write down in the margin there, and you can actually turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4:32, the cross-referencing verse for the verse that we just read, Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 32, the last verse in chapter 4. So when you're looking for a chain reference, the cross-reference here in the part of verse 10, which is primarily the very first part of verse 10, as you find in Ephesians 4 in verse 32, and it says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Paul's clearly saying, you know, the Lord has forgiven you. He's forgiven you through love. He's given you mercy, kindness, goodness, faith, and all this. So therefore, you need to give that to one another. You need to share that. So that's the cross-reference. That's the supporting verse, if you will, from verse 10 that says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. However, it's the second part of verse 10 that tells you how to do that. There's so often many a times that you find, I think Brother Kent and I were talking about this today, much preaching today to be this is what you are, this is what you are, this is what you are, let's close in prayer, amen. You never find out how to correct that. You see what I'm saying? Remember, the Word of God is good for reproof, correction, instructions, and righteousness for doctrine. There's all four elements to it. You can't just tell someone where they're wrong without telling them how to correct that thing. Amen. And we find that as a trend today that we ought not find. But we see it in the verses. It's in the scriptures. So if we're given a commandment here by the Holy Spirit of God through the writing of Paul saying, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, he tells us exactly how to do that in the next verse. In honor, read it with me. In honor, preferring one another. Amen? You see, this second part, this is how it tells you. How are you kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love? You do it by honoring your brethren in Christ through giving them preferential treatment above yourself, not above someone else. I'm not to give preferential treatment to Daisy above Brother Mel, but I'm to give preferential treatment to Daisy and to Brother Mel above myself. That's how you're kindly affectionate one to another, is putting yourself last, others first in your life. So in other words, you're to allow people the first privilege in your Christian life. Guys, that's how we are kindly affectionate one to another. And that really and truly is the root of how we can love without dissimulation, that we can love without partiality, love someone without hypocrisy. So look at verse 11 with me, and as we continue to see this, the characters of a Christian here, as Paul has given us so plainly. He says, not slothful in business. Can I say this to you tonight, guys, and I'll move along this fairly quickly. Typically, I'd have probably a tendency to jump on my soapbox in this area, but I'm not going to. It should be uncharacteristic of a Christian to be lazy at work. You know, the Bible speaks about purloining. I used that word purloining one time in a conference call with vice presidents and the presidents of a multi-million dollar company, healthcare company. And all of them sat there for about 3 or 4 seconds and said nothing. And my direct VP said, all right, hang on, guys. BJ, you got to tell everybody what the word purloining means. It's a biblical term. But it literally just means stealing from your employer, okay? Not slothful in business. Guys, being lazy is stealing from your employer. No one's going to take advice. They're not going to take guidance. They're not going to take counsel from a lazy man or woman. They're just not going to. They're seen as being untrustworthy. They may be the most honest person on the planet, okay? They may be just admit saying, yeah, I'm lazy and don't want to work. They may be honest, but people are not going to trust them with, especially with eternal guidance, if they're lazy, because it seems as if they're always trying to do the least but get the most. I had a guy tell me one time in the office, he said, if you want to see how to do a job the easiest, just give it to a lazy man. I thought that made no sense at all. And he was later on fired for not doing his work. So we found out that was ill advice. So next thing it says is not slothful in business, but it says fervent in spirit. Now, I like this. I like that right there. Guys, this is what's being referred to when preachers say, man, they own fire for Jesus. There's, you know, when somebody's on fire for Jesus, that's what being fervent in spirit means. That word fervent means hot or heated. All right, the Bible tells us to pray fervently, that we can pray with that fervent heat. And there ought to be times, guys, that when we bow in prayer in our own prayer closet, that we're brought to tears and we're weeping and we are hot. There's hot prayers that come forward. It's not a physical attribute, to say the least. But guys, I will say this. There are times when, man, you just bubble over with the Spirit of God, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen?
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting excited about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, what He's doing for us, and what He will do. Sometimes it needs to bubble out, amen, and maybe get on everybody else. That's good. That's good. Next part of the verse is serving the Lord. Serving the Lord, Paul is saying here, is a concluding thought of not being slothful and being fervent in our Christian life. So I'll just say this and move on. But guys, as we work for the Lord, we're not to be lazy. We're not to be complacent. There's a great difference between being content and complacent. You know, Paul said, I learned to be content therewith. Whatsoever state I'm in, I learned to be content therewith. Whether he was hungry, whether he was full, whether he was abased, whether he was what, he just learned to be content. But Paul was never complacent. As a matter of fact, the Lord had to allow sickness to come in his life just to slow him down in the ministry, to say, look, just slow down just a little bit. So as the children of God, as ministers, as Christians in this world today, we're not to be lazy. We're not to be complacent. We should work hard for the Lord. We should be zealous in our service for Jesus Christ. J. Frank Norris used to say that the trouble with most Christians is their get up and go has done got up and went. And and if you know anything about J. Frank Norris, he puts the F in fervent, man. He was a fiery Texan preacher, man, from the 30s. And I tell you what, he was a fiery preacher. I'll leave it at that. Amen. All right. So, guys, I was going to continue on and finish up on verse 12 tonight, but I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and call it right now just because of time's sake this evening. I've taught about 24 minutes. That's a little short than we normally go, but I have quite a bit I want to say about verse 12, so I'm going to pull back tonight and save it to start us off next week rather than me trying to push through it this evening and just not do it justice tonight. So let's bow our heads, if you will, this evening. Father, again, we do thank you for the time and the opportunity to have a Bible study. We pray that, Lord, that you were glorified and honored. And Lord, we will open up for questions, but I just pray that you would give us wisdom, guidance, grace, and mercy, and just continue to bless this word that we are teaching and preaching unto ourselves, and Father, what you've revealed unto us through your Holy Scripture. But I just pray, dear God, that as brothers and sisters in Christ, that our love would be without dissimulation, Lord, that we would love one another, but Father, that love would be seen within the community, within the village, down the streets, and people would take a significant note that there's something different about us as believers in Christ, and that may bring glory to you and you alone. So, Lord, we give you honor, glory, and praise, and thank you for who and what you are, and ask of you now to guide us throughout the rest of this evening, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Any questions on what we've discussed tonight?